for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
I had a really crazy dream. I dreamt I was walking out our house, and I went into our garage, and in my dream, poof, I became a car. It was just crazy. So I put myself in reverse, and I backed out of our garage. Poof, I became a person again. It was a weird dream. And then as the dream continued, this is really weird, in my dream I was going to go visit somebody in the hospital. I had to drive a car. I couldn't drive myself because I was out of the garage at this point in time. So I drove my car over to the hospital, and I went inside the hospital, and poof, I became a doctor. It was unbelievable. I didn't have to study, and I remember thinking, this is kind of cool. I'd like to be a doctor, but I didn't want to do all that studying. So never mind. It was awesome, but in my dream I left the hospital, and poof, I wasn't a doctor. It was kind of sad. And in my dream, after I went to the hospital, I went to McDonald's. And I walked into McDonald's and poof, I became a hamburger. Now, this one was disturbing because I'm kind of tidy and I don't like messes. And they started putting ketchup and pickles on me, and it was kind of gross. So turn to your neighbor and say, that's gross. It's the worst part of the dream, you know. And so I left McDonald's in my dream, and I walked out of McDonald's, and what happened? Oh, come on, you need to help yourself wake up. What happened? I became a person. So the answer is poof. Say poof. I became me again. And so in my dream, my car needed new tires, and you're going to know what happens now because you're following me in this dream. I drove to Discount Tire, and I walked into Discount Tire, and what did I become? It was the craziest dream I've ever had. I mean, that's just a wild dream. I mean, can you imagine if that actually were true? You just entered a place and you became the thing that the place represented? I mean, my goodness, how horrible. I'm glad in my dream I didn't walk into the bathroom. I mean, that's a funny dream, isn't it? But then there was one more part of my dream I forgot to tell you. I dreamed after, you know, I was in the garage and in the hospital and in McDonald's and then in Discount Tire. I drove to church, and I walked into the church, poof, just by walking into the church. Poof. Didn't have to do anything. No studying, no transmorphosis, nothing. I just walked in and poof, turn to your neighbor and say, poof. I became a Christian just by walking in the church. Huh. Now, the weird thing about this dream is we all know it's silly that you don't turn into a car when you walk into a garage. And praise the Lord, I'm not operating on you just because I walked into the hospital. And how weird would it be if we, just by walking into McDonald's, we became hamburgers or the Discount Tire, if we became tires. But yet we think sometimes that just by walking into a church, poof, we become Christians. It don't work that way. That, my friends, is the stuff of dreams. So Christy and I spent the week at a conference out in Pennsylvania. It was a Christian conference. It was called Voice of the Apostles. People who went to Voice of the Apostles clearly were people who knew it was a Christian conference. You don't have atheists going to a Voice of the Apostles conference. There were about 6,000 people gathered on this Thursday night. Clearly a Christian conference. And the way these folks, it's a Pentecostal group, and I love it. They worship well, they do great things. But man, these people go for hours. So, you know, we get there at 9, you go till noon, you got a break, you got from like noon to 4:30, it's fine. And then at night, man, they start at 7. So we get there at 7, and they worship for a little over an hour, and that was great, it was awesome. And then after the worship set, you know, it's, you know, a little after 8, they get up and they do some things. You know, they have some announcements, they take an offering, and I like the way we do our offering here, right? If you're a follower of Christ, it's your church home, don't forget your joy boxes. They did that for about 40 minutes. They explained for 40 minutes why, you know, we take an offering, and it was fine. But, you know, by this time it's approaching 9, and then they pulled some people up on the stage to honor them because they went to a class, and we celebrated. So the main speaker on this Thursday night was 6,000 people. He didn't get up till after, like, 9, 9:30. Now, you got to know, my lovely wife of 23 years, she gets up really early in the morning. And we were excited to hear this dude speak. He's an internationally renowned, you know, Christian speaker and author. And we're excited to see him. And before he even started, I look over at Christy and this is what I see. I'm like, oh man, he better get going quick so Christy can hear him. Because we're excited to hear this guy, weren't we? So he gets up and he decides we hadn't worshiped enough. So he led us in worship for another half hour. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, Christy's a goner. So we worshiped a little bit, and you know, we just sang, and it was fun. And he got up, and after the worship, he goes, okay, now before I teach you the message, I've got to teach you a pre-message. And I'm looking at Christy, and I'm thinking, there ain't no way she's making it. And he goes on in this pre-message just to annoy me. 6,000 people at a conference called Voice of the Apostles. It's clearly a Christian gathering. He said, before I get to the teaching, I got a pre-teaching, and I want to lay out the gospel to you just to make sure that you all know what we're about here before I get to the real teaching or the second teaching. And I'm like, come on, man. We all knew it was a Christian conference. We're gathered here in the name of Jesus. Of course we know what the gospel is. Why are you wasting my sleepy wife's time? Get to the real point. And so he laid out the gospel pretty clearly. He didn't do it quickly. Christy's almost asleep. And at the end of laying out the gospel, what the message of Jesus is, at this gathering of 6,000 some Christians, most who live their lives going to church at least once or twice, sometimes three times a week, he said, if any of you haven't embrace the truth that I just taught, and you want to become a follower of Christ, and I'm like, come on, just get to the teaching. We're obviously all Christians because we're in a Christian gathering. We paid money to get here. He goes, if you've never received Jesus, if you've never kind of mentally just given your mind and your heart and yourself to Jesus, I'd like you to stand up and come forward. And I'm like, come on, get it over with. There's going to be like one person. Somebody brought their great aunt Ruth or something. Hundreds of people stood up and walked down. The aisles were filled. The front was jam-packed. Hundreds of people who had spent their lives just like me and you going to church for the first time said, oh, that's what it's about. And said, yeah, I think I should do that. You know, dreams are stupid. Just because you go in your garage, you don't become a car. Just because you go to the hospital, you don't become a doctor. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christ follower. And so it's week 4 in our series, Grow. Turn to your neighbor and say, Grow. Do it a little more guttural. Grow. Where we have been encouraging you to grow in owning your own growth. Grow in owning your own growth. Grow. 5-week series, it's week 4, and I think at week 4, I need to learn from that guy I heard put my wife to sleep on Thursday night. And we need to make sure that the bases are covered as we move forward as a church and as a family. Because you can't grow unless you let the seed get planted in your heart. You know, so the language here at the River in our faith journey is at one point we all become seeds. We grow a little bit and we become roots. And then we grow a little bit more and we become trees. And the goal in our faith journey is to grow so that we become the tree that is a blessing to everybody around us. But maybe it's high time that we take a time out and make no assumptions and lay out the bases to make sure that all of us have at least been planted as seeds. So we're going back to the basics today. Here they come. Are you ready? Three of you. Are you ready? It's from the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 15, 16, and 17. The disciples are just kind of kicking with Jesus. They've been hanging out. They've been doing some ministry. And Jesus asks them, hey, who do people say that I am? And they began throwing off hands. Well, we heard they said this about you and this about you and this about you. And then we get this in Matthew 16, the 15th verse. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah. You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Simon says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And this was the text that our long-winded friend on Thursday night spoke from in his pre-teaching. And I'm going to unadulteratedly steal exactly what he said and make it fit me. He was a lot more formal than I am, I'm just going to tell you. He was in his 60s and he had the best hair I've ever seen. Turned to Christy and had to repent a little bit because I was coveting. Here, the linkified version of what that man said. You know, but before I get into the message, he said there are four aspects of Peter's, you know, confession, his conversion, his salvation moment, and it's the four things that we're going to look at today, and all for us maybe to make a little checklist, just to look on the inside and say, have I encountered these four things? But before I talk to you about the four things, I want to impress you. Are you guys ready to be impressed? Yeah, you really? Okay, thanks, Carl, for are you ready to be impressed? I mean, you're going to be really impressed at this. I know Michael Jordan. You're impressed, aren't you? I know him. Or, if that doesn't impress you, I know, I really do, baby, I know Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know him. Get to the top of now. I know him. Are you guys impressed? Let me further impress you with my name drops. I know Ronda Rousey. Do you guys know Ronda Rousey? I mean, I know Ronda Rousey. She was the world's best female mixed martial artist who kind of broke the scene where it was just a male-dominated thing, and she was the first woman to enter into the mixed martial arts thing and made millions of dollars because she could beat people up. I know her. She's world famous. I know her. 2 weeks ago when I preached last, I had a confession that I shared with you. Does anybody remember that confession? Anybody remember me teaching 2 weeks ago? I confess to you that I like a certain type of music. Does that jog a memory, anybody? Anybody remember what kind of music it was? Big hair bands, you know, from the 80s, right? The metal hair bands thing. So who shares that love with me? Okay, yeah. Then you guys are going to appreciate this. I know Ozzy Osbourne. I know him. Isn't that awesome? And you know how I know these four world-famous people? I know them because I read their biographies. I did. I sat in my house, busted out my Kindle, and I read. I even told Christy some of the stories that I probably shouldn't repeat in church about some of these crazy people, what they did. It was funny, weird, wild. I know these people because I read their books. Question. Do I know them? Do I know them? I don't know them. In fact, if the things I just told you, if I were saying truthfully, I was being silly, but if I really believed and I would say, I really know Arnold Schwarzenegger, if that's what I was really saying, I would be living a delusional life. You see, for us on our faith journey and this thing of being a follower of Christ, for us to have the seed planted, for us to be like the seed, we can't just know about people and read their books. Peter shows for us in his confession story in Matthew 16 that he had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. And this, my friends, is the foundation of a faith journey in following Christ. And I'm wondering if you know Jesus like I know Ozzy Osbourne, or if you've had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, an encounter. You see, Jesus, you know, he went to the cross. He died for the sins of the world. And then he came out of the tomb so that the world couldn't just get to heaven, but that the world might live victoriously on this side of heaven. And he did these things, these arduous, painful things for his own body. He did them so that we could have an encounter with him. Peter says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he knew that because he had an encounter with Jesus that was lasting. And it wasn't just an encounter. It was years of an encounter with Jesus. And we know that the American church has been on the decline for 60 years, and I think it's because American Christians have mistaken knowing about Jesus with knowing Jesus. And I'm telling you, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, wants to have an encounter with you. Elbow your neighbor and say, you. If you have no neighbor, just point to yourself and say, you. Have you had an encounter? I'm remembering the days. Can you guys keep a secret? I don't know if I can trust you. Yeah. You better leave then, Dan. I mean, this first service is a little smaller, so maybe I can risk here. My brother used to wet the bed into first grade. He would kill me if I had told him that I told you. Can you guys keep that secret? And I remember, I'm a year behind, I'm about 16 months younger. He would have these night terrors. Terrors where he would just lose control of himself as a little first grader. And I remember one night we shared a room. This was in Alabama. My dad was in the Air Force. We were living on this little Air Force base and this little Air Force base house. And we got these little two little twin beds, just like the I Love Lucy show, you know, Desi and Lucy. If you remember those? Does anybody have no idea who Desi and Lucy is? Google it, okay, Gavin. He's over there, and I'm over here, and he would wake up every night in terror. So terrified, he would do the thing. And in our little kindergarten, first grade worlds, I remember vividly him asking me after one such episode, how come you don't get scared? And I remember telling him, I said, Jason, because if I died tonight, if that thing that scares you, if it got me tonight, I know I'd be with Jesus. See, as a little 5-6-year-old, even at that age, I had an encounter with the risen Savior. And it was such a powerful encounter that it removed fears from my little 5-year-old mind. Peter was able to begin his journey in faith. He began to confess that Jesus was Lord because he had an encounter first. And I'm wondering if you've had an encounter with Jesus or if you just come to church and sit in the chair. If you come to church and just sit in the chair, keep coming and anticipate an encounter. Because he wants to encounter you once, twice, a million times throughout your life. Encounters happen. Amen. And he wants you to walk face to face with him. He will meet you where you're at. Do not look for a church service on Sunday morning. Look for an encounter with the King of Kings. So the first of four steps for Peter in his faith journey and his confession is he had a face-to-face encounter. And the work for us is to say, have I? There's a second thing. Could you bring that dog up on stage, honey? This is our youngest of five, Elise. Come on. You all call her Elise. I've never called her Elise in about 8 years. Her name's Ponyo to me. Thanks, Ponyo. Yeah. You can hang out right here for a minute. She just whispered to me that Barkley farted, so sorry about that. Shh, but we won't tell the people, okay? So, how many of you have met him? How many of you have met him? Yeah, if you've met him, I know you love him. Anybody over here met him? How about somebody in the balcony? Have a seat, Bark, sit. Somebody in the balcony, tell me what this guy's name is. Yeah, but, is that you, Keith? Yeah. You know why Keith knows that this is Barkley? Give me some. Boom. Yeah. Come on over here. Do you know why Keith knows it? Gavin, tell me what his name is. Yeah. Do you know why you know his name is Barkley? Give me some, Bark. Boom. Good boy. Because I introduced him. How many of you have come by Barkley and I said, hey, have you met Barkley? No, this is Barkley. Barkley, shake a hand, and Barkley shakes a hand. It's his favorite day of the week. How many of you had me introduce you to Barkley and shaking his hand? Man, if you haven't, I'll meet you after the service. I'm going to leave real quick, grab the dog, and we'll be out there. You got to meet this guy. See, the only way that you know this dog's name is Barkley, he slobbers a lot, sorry, is because you were told it was revealed to you by his father that this is Barkley. You know, he's been around for 6.5 years here at the church. We're going to take many more, buddy. And not once have I seen somebody come up to Barkley. Oh, you just took my microphone. Stay there. I haven't seen anybody come up to him and just look at him. Hang on. This is Barkley. No one could think their way to knowing who this is. Now, they could think their way to say, I think he's a Newfoundland. But nobody could just think their way intellectually into knowing that my dog's name is Barkley. Give me some. Boom. Somebody had to reveal to them that his name is Barkley. Are you glad that I've revealed that his name is Barkley to you guys? Anybody? All right, everybody give Barkley an applause. Thank you. Okay, go to your sister. Thank you, honey. Yep. She didn't just fall down because he ran her over. Don't worry. Thanks, honey. Peter said, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? You are the Messiah. The Son of the living God. He couldn't just think his way to that. He had to have an encounter that was revealed to him what it was. The Father in the text revealed the Son as the Messiah. Don't believe me? Blessed are you when you meet a dog and learn his name is Barkley. Blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You see, when we come to Jesus and we have an encounter, it takes a divine revelation for us to say that Jesus ain't just a good dude, but he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. I'm telling you, friends, you can think your way all you want, and you ought to think. And I've said before, there are too many stupid Christians in the world. I'm not proposing non-thinking Christianity, but I'm saying you can't come to a saving relationship with Jesus without the Father revealing to you that Jesus is the Messiah. Amen. He is the one. And with as much respect as I can muster, Buddha's not. The thousands of gods of Hindu, no. Jesus has been revealed as the Messiah, and I'm wondering if you know him from a distance and think he's a good guy. Or I'm wondering if it's been revealed to you by the Father that Jesus is the Messiah. So in Peter's conversion moment there, he had to have a face-to-face encounter. And I'm wondering if you've had an encounter. He had to have it revealed that this one he had a face-to-face encounter with was the Messiah, right? Just like you're not just coming to church. Some of you come to church and you feel something different. I know you do. And I wonder if that's the Father whispering, it's Jesus, the Messiah. It's got to be revealed. Something happened to me this summer. My dad was in the Air Force, as I've already told you, and so we spent two different tours of duty in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Moving around, you know, my whole life, we moved every 2 to 4 years, I never developed a geographical affiliation with athletic teams. And so, you know, living here, every fall, I get excited to have, you know, football back on schedule. Anybody else excited about the NFL right this time? This is great. I know you guys like, what's that team you like? The Lions, right? And so I felt for years like, well, I probably should root for the Lions because I live here. But I've never been hugely drawn to the Lions. I mean, I love football, so I'll watch anybody, so I don't mind watching the Lions. But this summer, something happened. I began to think on my life, having spent 8 years of my life in the Upper Peninsula, and some people up there, you know what team they root for?
Packers.
The Packers.
Yeah, baby.
So I'm 46. I turned 46 in May. It was after May, so I've lived 46 years of kind of no commitment. I just wasn't committed to any team. And I just would live my life kind of peaceful because I see all you depressed Lions fans who delusionally, they're going to do it this year. They're not going to do it this year, but maybe next year. Right? But so I've never had that, you know, the downs, but I've never had the joy of saying, my team won. So I read an article written by a woman named Mina Kimes about Aaron Rodgers. That dude is enjoying, he's funny. He's not pompous, he's not arrogant, he's just a down to, and I, something happened on my insides. I found commitment. And so I went out and I bought, you can't really tell because, you know, it's green. I see you, Cutter, with your Packer hat on back there. This is, it does say Packers, it's all black. I like your green hat, Cutter, but you're limited on what you can wear it with. Black is more versatile. I have a Packers hat now because something happened on the inside of me where I said, you know, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to be a Packers fan.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what to do with that because, like, that's the natural clapping that I think people would say when I say Jesus loves you. Watch this. Michigan State is fantastic, aren't they? No. I meant to say U of M is awesome.
Yeah.
Jesus loves you. You see, there's something natural. Now, this is the parentheses. There's something natural when I just mention a sports team. You're just drawn to cheer. But when we talk about the good things of Jesus, we're drawn to stare. Okay, back to the teaching. So this summer, I made a commitment, and I'm committed. I put my money where my mouth is, and I covered my bald head with a Packer hat. You guys don't like the Packers? See, now in my commitment, I can feel hate. Not really. I'm joking. I don't hate you guys. I love you guys. But I've committed now on the inside to a thing. What about you? Jesus asked this Simon Peter, who do you say that I am? You see, up until this point, he'd been with Jesus for about 2.5 years at this point in time. I don't know. And I liken Peter's relationship with Jesus to my relationship with the NFL. You know, I mean, I like the NFL. I really do. I like the NFL, but there ain't no commitment. So I wonder if up until this point, Jesus was like, Peter was like, I like you, Jesus. It's fun to be around. You're a nice guy. Right? I've seen you do some really awesome things. But I wonder if at this moment, something happened on the inside of his heart. And he bought the hat. What if it's at this moment, right before he said anything, I wonder if at this moment as he said, yeah, I'm going to buy the hat. You see, for us as followers of Christ, we don't become followers of Christ just by walking into the building. Somebody say, duh. We learn from Peter's story that to be a follower of Christ, it requires a face-to-face encounter and probably a bunch of them. And we learn from Peter's story that Jesus as the Messiah has to be revealed to us. We can't think our way to it. And we learn from his story that there's got to be a moment when we come to Jesus and we got to buy the hat. Who do you say that he is? Well, I told you there are four things that I've totally stolen and made it my own. This guy who preached Thursday night would have said none of the things I said. He'd probably be mortified. A dog on stage. There's a fourth thing that I learned from this guy that I kind of knew, and maybe you did too. So at this conference, I mean, it's a long conference. I mean, it starts at 9, and it usually ended around 11, right? And there's a bunch of kids, and so I don't know where Christy was. She was probably, you know, off doing something. I was in the elevator by myself. And in comes this little kid. He's probably about Ponyo's age, Elisa's age, about 10. And he comes in with this woman, clearly his mother, and another woman who clearly didn't know them or me walks in. So there's the four of us in this elevator. And this kid is holding two Mountain Dews. How many of you know what my favorite soda is in the world? Say it if you know. It's the sweet nectar of heaven. In my home, we call it the sweet nectar of heaven. Sir, my little man over there, little 10-year-old boy, has got two 20-ounce Mountain Dews. You know, how do you guys know that my favorite soda or pop is Mountain Dew? How do you know that? Right. I've told you. Or if you want to use church language, I've confessed to you. I've confessed that Mountain Dew is the sweet nectar of heaven. I've told you. I didn't keep my love of the sweet nectar of heaven hidden. Y'all know. So this little kid, he's a 10-year-old, he's on there, and this other woman, the woman who didn't know him, looks at him, and she had this, you know, kind of motherly look about her. She says, oh, you're getting ready for the conference, all that caffeine. But I knew she was really judging the mother for letting her kid drink Mountain Dew, and I was mad. And he's like, yeah, I love Mountain Dew, and my heart softened. This 10-year-old boy says, I love Mountain Dew, and I just smiled warmly. And he goes, They even have red Mountain Dew, he said. He said, they even have red Mountain Dew. And the woman who didn't know him said, no, they don't. He goes, yeah, they do. They have red Mountain Dew. And she's like, I don't think they do. And I'm looking at the mom. Come on, protect your son. And she jumped into the mix and said, oh, honey, they don't have red Mountain Dew. It was horrible. So I said, well, excuse me, they do have Mountain Dew that's red. And I looked at my little man in the eye, winked at him, and I said, it's called Code Red Mountain Dew. And he said, yeah, Code Red, that's what it was. It's called Code Red Mountain Dew. Walked off the elevator, gave him a fist bump, and stared these women down. Code Red Mountain Dew. Two Lions fans, would you come here? Would you guys drink this? Don't even ask your parents. Give this one to your brother. Thanks, yeah. Okay, let me ask you. How do you know that I love Mountain Dew? Say it again. I told you is the answer. How do you know that I love Mountain Dew? Right. And so for Peter, when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? It wasn't enough for him to privately buy the hat. He didn't have to in secret buy the hat. I love Jesus. I think Jesus is the Messiah. Shh, but don't tell anybody. Get down. For the confession to reach fruition, for the salvation to hit his doorstep, for him to be a follower of Christ, it was culminated with his words being professed out loud. I love Mountain Dew. Right? You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. For the confession to reach the fullness of its potential in his heart and his conversion and his salvation to come home, it ended with him confessing with his lips that Jesus is Lord. Week 4, in our Grow series, we even bought t-shirts and hoodies. We even got stuff up on the wall here on the screen. And I'm wondering if, as we've been talking about you growing and owning your own growth, if we forgot to cover base one. Well, as of 10:07 today, that base is covered. You see, the point of a faith journey is to grow. And the reason we talk about grow is because every single one of you has great potential. We even say it, if you got a pulse, you got, no, not that one, the other one. If you got a pulse, you got purpose. Every single one of you has potential to do something amazing in this world. Every single one of you has purpose within to bring fruit elsewhere, to bring joy where it's missing, to bring restoration where things are broken. You have a purpose and a mission from the King of Kings, but you'll never grow into that fruitfulness unless you begin the journey by following the example of Peter and having a face-to-face encounter, having the Spirit reveal to you that Jesus is the Messiah, no one else, just Jesus. And without an inner saying, I'm going to buy the hat. And then a public confession. So here's what I want to do. If you want to today, whether for the first time or the millionth time, confess Jesus as Lord, would you stand up right now? No peer pressure. If you don't feel like standing, do not stand. And if it looks like you're standing because you feel like you should, but you don't want to, I'm going to come out there and give you my hat. Your confession is Jesus is the Messiah. So just say, repeat after me, Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so whether that was your first time or your millionth time, grow. Grow. And if it was your first time, now you can begin to walk into the purpose that God has for you. If this is your church home and you're a follower of Christ, do not forget your joy boxes. If you need prayer of any kind, our prayer team will be right here. Barkley and I will be outside saying hello to everybody. If you haven't met him, come on over. Have a good week. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.